So you look at your merchant statement at the end of the month, right? And you see that familiar 2.9% rate.
Yeah, the classic flat tax.
Exactly. It just feels like a flat tax. You probably just write it off as the cost of doing business online. You plug it into your financial model, you build your margin around it, and then, you just move on to the next fire drill.
Which is what everyone does.
Right. But if you have international customers, that predictable tax is actually this massive hidden leak in your margin. So, welcome to another deep dive at My Pay Advisor.
Glad to be here.
Think of this session as sitting in on a strategy sync between two operators. I am your analyst, and joining me is our senior payments advisor. Today, we are targeting one specific structural cost line that is, quite frankly, quietly draining profits in 2026,
Yes.
and that is international and cross-border interchange.
It really is a margin leak that requires immediate operator attention. I mean, especially for any U.S. merchant with an e-commerce footprint.
Yeah, we see it all the time.
We do. We
Yeah.
need to anchor this right away so you, the listener, understand the financial gravity here. If we look at the 2026 numbers, a premium international card with currency conversion is costing an acquirer around 3.25%. And that is before any processor markup even enters the picture.
Wait, hold on. So 3.25% is just the floor.
Just the floor, yeah.
That is before my payment processor adds their cut to actually make a profit.
Precisely. It is huge.
Yeah.
To put that in perspective, say you are a U.S. merchant processing just 10% international volume on, $300,000 of monthly sales.
Okay, pretty standard mid-market number.
Right. You are paying an extra $1,500 to $3,200 every single month purely in cross-border penalties.
Just evaporating from the bottom line.
Exactly. And based on the latest Federal Reserve payments study, cross-border card volume is growing 6% to 8% annually.
So it is just getting worse.
Yeah, it is a structural cost that is compounding. So our mission today is to unpack the specific line items driving this cost, right? And give you an operator playbook to basically patch the leak.
I love it. I want to start with the mechanics, because the logic behind what actually triggers these fees completely defies common sense.
It really does.
How does a transaction actually get flagged as international in the first place? Because, and this surprised me, it is not based on where the customer is actually sitting when they click purchase.
Not at all. People always assume it is the IP address, but no. The mechanics are entirely rigid and they rely on one specific piece of data,
Which is.
the bank identification number, or BIN-N. That is the first 6 to 8 digits of the credit card.
Okay.
The physical location of the cardholder, that does not matter. Their IP address at checkout is completely irrelevant.
Right.
Even the currency they select at checkout, that does not matter either. The acquiring bank simply reads the country code encoded into that BIN-N. And if that country code differs from your acquiring country, the transaction just routes straight through the network's international fee schedule.
It is honestly like dealing with a bizarre postal service.
That is a good way to put it.
Imagine if the cost to mail a letter was determined strictly by the city where the postage stamp was originally printed.
Yeah.
It completely ignores where you are standing when you drop the letter in the mailbox, and it ignores the actual destination address. The system only cares about the origin of the stamp.
That is exactly how BIN routing works. And once that international trigger is pulled by the system, you get hit with three separate layers of fees. They just stack right on top of a normal transaction.
Okay, let us break those down. What is layer one?
So layer one is international interchange. Visa and MasterCard maintain entirely separate, much higher interchange schedules for cross-border transactions.
Because of the risk, right?
Yeah, they justify this by pointing to greater fraud exposure and, the sheer complexity of moving money across borders.
Do we have the public 2026 schedules from the networks? Because I know those rates just shifted recently.
You do, yeah. For Visa, the international consumer standard rate is 1.0%.
Okay.
The premium tier hits 1.80%. And then commercial cards, they jump all the way to 2.0%.
Wow, 2% just for the base interchange. What about MasterCard?
On the MasterCard side, a World card sits at 1.10%, and a World Elite card costs 1.85%.
And that is just layer one.
Keep in mind that it's just the first layer. Then we hit layer two, which is the network assessment.
And these go straight to the card networks, right? This is essentially the toll booth.
Correct. Pure profit for the networks. Visa calls it the International Service Assessment, or ISA.
I guess they got it.
They charge 1.00% for same currency settlement and 1.40% when the currencies differ.
Okay, so a penalty if there is an exchange rate involved.
Right. And MasterCard calls it a cross-border assessment fee. That runs 0.60% for same currency and 1.00% for different currencies.
Got it. And then layer three is the currency conversion margin, right?
Yes. If your acquirer actually handles the foreign exchange, they typically apply their own margin on top of the wholesale rate.
But let me stop you on layer two for a second. The Visa ISA and the MasterCard assessment, are those entirely non-negotiable?
Totally hard costs.
Because, you know, what if a sales rep from a major processor promises me a steep discount on my international assessments? Can they do that?
That sales rep is lying to you.
Good to know.
Yeah, every single U.S. acquirer pays those exact network assessments on every cross-border transaction.
Sure.
They're hard, non-negotiable costs set by Visa and MasterCard.
Right.
The processor cannot waive them. But here is the critical part. The problem is not the base cost itself.
It is how they hide it.
Exactly. The real financial damage happens in how processors package and hide those hard costs from the merchant.
Which brings us to processor margin traps. This is where statements just get intentionally
Oh,
murky.
for sure.
The flat rate illusion is easily the biggest offender we see when we audit these files.
It is everywhere. Processors often hit merchants with a flat 1.5% additional surcharge for international cards. They just bury it in the fine print.
Right.
But let us look at the math. As we just established, the actual Visa ISA on a same currency transaction is only 1.0%.
So the processor is pocketing 50 basis points of pure margin before their base rate even applies.
Yeah, they're basically printing money.
They are literally overcharging you for a fee they have to pay Visa and keeping the change. I mean, half a percent might sound small to someone outside of finance, but on millions of dollars in volume, that spread buys a lot of luxury cars for processor
It
executives.
really does. They are keeping that spread and just hoping you never read the public Visa schedules.
Which most people do not.
No, they do not. And another major trap involves what we call sneaky BNs.
Oh, I love this one.
It is wild. We are seeing a massive trend where U.S. multinational companies issue corporate cards to their American employees, but they issue them through their European subsidiaries for tax or treasury reasons.
Right. It plays out like a detective story where the merchant is the victim. The
Yeah.
guy walks into your storefront or logs into your checkout portal and hands you what looks exactly like a standard American corporate Visa. It has a U.S. billing address. It is paying in U.S. dollars, but the hidden BNN code actually routes to London.
And that silent routing triggers the international tier without you ever knowing.
Wow.
You think you're running a cheap domestic transaction, but the stamp was printed in Europe, to use your analogy.
Man, that is frustrating.
Then we have the third major trap, and this involves contract exclusions. A merchant might spend 3 months negotiating a fantastic, 2.4% flat rate, only to find out international cards are being billed at 3.9%.
And why is that?
Because the processor hit a clause saying the negotiated discount rate only applies to domestic volume. International cards just sit on an exempt fee schedule.
Okay, we need to show what this actually looks like on a P&L.
Good idea.
Let us run the math on that B2B software as a service company we audited last month.
Right, the sauce company.
Yeah, they process $450,000 in monthly volume, and 12% of that volume, which is about $54,000, comes from international customers.
That is a very standard profile for a mid-market sauce operator.
Definitely.
Under their old standard flat rate plan, they were paying 2.9% plus 30 cents. But with a 1.5% international surcharge slapped right on top of that 12% slice.
Right, so their total blended processing bill was coming in at $13,935 every single month.
Ouch.
Yeah, so how do we fix that mechanically? Because you cannot just call Visa and ask for a refund.
No, definitely not. You change the structure of your processing agreement. You move them to an interchange plus plus contract, commonly called IC++.
Okay.
Let us assume we secure a processor markup of 0.20% plus 8 cents per transaction.
Pause right there, actually. I want to make sure everyone listening understands what IC++ actually means on a piece of paper, because the industry just loves to throw that acronym around without ever explaining it.
That is very true.
What are the two pluses?
Fair question. The IC stands for interchange, which is the wholesale cost of the card that goes to the issuing bank.
Got it.
The first plus is the network assessment fee that goes to Visa or MasterCard. And the second plus is the processor's actual markup for doing the work. In an IC++ contract, every single one of those line items is broken out transparently on your statement.
So instead of a black box where the processor says, you know, just pay us 4% and we will handle the rest.
Exactly.
You see exactly who is getting paid. So on that transparent IC++ structure, that SaaS company's total cost dropped to $10,392 a month.
Incredible difference.
That is an annual savings of $42,516 just by changing how the math is displayed.
And the mechanism behind that massive savings is pure transparency. The IC++ structure forces the processor to expose the actual 1.0% Visa ISA.
They cannot hide it anymore.
Right. They can no longer bury it inside a blended 1.5% surcharge. You just stop paying the processor a premium to pass a fee along to the network.
So if I'm an operator looking at these exorbitant cross-border fees, my immediate instinct is to say, fine, I am not absorbing this.
Pass it on.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I will just pass the fees directly to the international buyer. I will add a 3% international processing fee to the card at checkout and just let them pay for it.
That is honestly the most common reaction we hear from founders.
Yeah.
But it is a regulatory compliance minefield that can get your merchant account shut down permanently.
I want to break down why that is so dangerous, looking specifically at the Visa surcharge rules.
Oh, the rules are strict.
Yeah. According to their public regulations, merchants must notify their acquirer 30 days before they begin surcharging. But the real trap is that Visa officially caps merchant surcharges at your actual cost of acceptance,
which creates an unsolvable operational problem at checkout.
It really is a math paradox. Think about the checkout flow. You apply a flat 3% surcharge to recover your fees.
Right.
But the buyer uses a specific international rewards card that actually costs you 3.6% in interchange and assessments. You are officially violating Visa rules because your surcharge does not perfectly align with the cap. On the flip side, if the card only costs 2.5% and you charge 3%, you are overcharging and breaking the rules again.
You just cannot accurately predict the exact cost at the checkout screen before the buy-in is actually processed and cleared.
Exactly.
But you have to display the surcharge before the customer clicks buy. It is nearly impossible to comply with. You are risking massive network fines for a very marginal gain.
So why are these baseline fees so incredibly high? I mean, you mentioned fraud earlier, but is the risk really that different between a buyer in New York and a buyer in London?
Yes, it really is.
Yeah.
To understand why Visa and MasterCard enforce these complex structures, you have to look at the underlying risk profile of cross-border commerce.
Okay, let us look at the numbers.
We pulled the latest numbers from the Nilson Report, which is, you know, the definitive authority on global card payments. In 2023, the industry lost $0.15 billion to fraud worldwide.
And the interesting part of that Nilson data is that U.S. losses represented only 0.18% of that global figure.
It is crazy to think about.
The vast majority of the damage is happening internationally. And the Nilson report projects a staggering $1.71 billion in worldwide losses over the next 10 years.
That elevated risk is exactly why international interchange is structurally higher. The networks are pricing in the probability of a transaction going bad across international jurisdictions.
Right.
Because recovering funds across borders is just much harder.
Right.
And this leads directly to the hidden costs of chargeback economics.
Right. The dispute process. You get hit on the way in and you get hit on the way out.
Because of this elevated risk, international chargeback rates often run 2 to 3 times higher than domestic rates.
Wow.
But worse than that, processors quietly charge higher administrative fees for international disputes.
Of course they do.
You might be used to a standard $15 domestic chargeback fee, but processors routinely charge $25 to $40 per case for international disputes.
So you are paying a higher percentage to accept the card initially, and you are paying a steeper penalty when the transaction is inevitably disputed.
It compounds rapidly.
Which is why we need to move from analysis to execution. Understanding the structure is great for a textbook, but taking action is what actually protects your margin.
Yes, we need to deliver the operator playbook. If you are listening to this, here are the specific actions you should execute this week to stop leaking margin.
Number one.
First, pull your last 3 months of processing statements. Isolate every single transaction over $200. And you can use any free online BIN lookup tool to identify the non-US issuers.
Because you cannot just guess based on shipping addresses. You have to calculate your exact international BIN percentage.
Exactly. Do not rely on the address. If that international volume exceeds 10% of your total sales, it's time to go to market.
What is the move?
Request a quote on IC++ pricing from at least 2 competing processors. Demand that the Visa ISA and the MasterCard cross-border assessment be passed through at their actual published rates.
Right. Refuse any blended international searcher.
100%. Yeah. Refuse it.
You want to see the distinct line items, what goes to the network and what goes to the processor. Do not let them mix the two. What is step three?
Step three is to verify the foreign exchange conversion rate on your statement against Visa's published daily rate.
Okay.
If a European customer pays in euros and your bank settles your funds in U.S. dollars, your processor is doing the math behind the scenes. So divide your settled amount to find the effective exchange rate they gave you.
That makes sense.
Anything above a 0.50% spread from the published Visa rate is pure hidden processor margin.
Step four is auditing your dynamic currency conversion, or DCC. This usually happens on physical terminals or, you know, localized checkout software.
DCC is fascinating. Think about the last time you used an ATM at a foreign airport.
Oh, yeah, they always try to get you.
The screen asks if you want to be charged in dollars or local currency. The machine is offering to do the math for you, but it usually charges a terrible exchange rate for the convenience.
Right.
Well, DCC does the exact same thing for your customers. It allows the cardholder to pay in their home currency while you still get paid in dollars.
But the catch is the revenue split. The provider doing that conversion makes a healthy margin on the exchange rate.
They certainly do.
If your share of that DCC revenue split is not visible on your statement, the processor is just keeping all of the markup for themselves.
And the final playbook step applies specifically to operators using B2B recurring billing. If you run a subscription model, switch the actual billing currency to the cardholder's local currency.
Oh, that is smart.
If you charge a European client directly in euros instead of U.S. dollars, you eliminate the processor's foreign exchange margin layer entirely.
Because there is no conversion happening on your end.
Correct. Additionally, it drops the Visa ISA from the 1.4% different currency rate right down to the 1.2% same currency rate.
That is a brilliant structural fix. It pays dividends every single billing cycle because you optimize the routing before the transaction ever reached the network.
That is the goal.
So we have mapped the anatomy of the fees, we have exposed the margin traps, and we have outlined a clear playbook to stop the leak. But I want to leave you with a final thought to ponder based on a recent update we saw from the Nilson report.
You are talking about the development with American Express.
Yes, exactly. American Express just announced they will formally protect cardholders against errors made by AI purchasing agents.
That is a huge shift.
We are officially entering an era where autonomous AI agents will begin initiating cross-border B2B purchases on behalf of companies. Procurement bots are going to be buying software and supplies.
Which introduces a completely new variable into the payments ecosystem. We are moving from human error to algorithmic scale.
Exactly. Think about the implications for your margin. As these bots take over procurement, how will they behave?
Right. What are the rules they follow?
Will they be programmed to recognize the nuances of interchange? Will they optimize for local currency routing to save their parent company's money?
Probably not at first.
Or will their automated high-speed buying behavior blindly trigger billions of dollars in avoidable international assessment fees for merchants worldwide?
It is a scary thought.
When a human buyer makes a routing mistake, it is an isolated event. But when an AI agent defaults to the wrong currency routing, it happens 1,000 times a second.
Yeah. The scale is unprecedented.
We started this deep dive talking about that predictable 2.9% tax. The real question is, in an automated future, will you control your hidden leaks or will a procurement bot dictate your margin?
That is the operational frontier we are heading toward rapidly. You have to be prepared.
Thanks for sitting in on this Strategy Sync. Go pull those statements, run the BVFN lookups, and we will catch you on the next deep dive.